Hello, and welcome to Dragon's Trove, where all we talk about is Dungeons & Dragons. My name is Tristan, and as always, I'm joined by Troy.
Hello.
And my brother Jace.
Hi.
And tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about the fighter versus the barbarian, and the similarities and major differences between the two. Enjoy. And welcome to episode 8. This is episode 8. It's like a long time.
Yeah, that's like almost three threes. And three is a magic number.
That's true.
It's the smartest thing that's going to be said all night.
Probably.
Set your expectations high, folks.
Exactly.
Here we go. 40 minutes of this. I don't even know what this is.
Death.
Well, anyway. How's everybody's week?
It's been good. It's been good. The wand is good.
Good.
Yeah, not bad. Got some D&D this week, so it's a good week.
That's true. That's true. We did have the D&D on Wednesday.
And what we left it off on a cliffhanger, and I feel like we're all going to die, so that's a great feeling to have, waiting for 2 weeks to go. Or wait, we're going to play again next week, so I guess we don't have to wait too long.
Yeah, I think we're going to change the day, because next week is Halloween on Wednesday, which is our normal play day.
Spooptacular D&D session. Everybody's scared. Everybody's a zombie.
I've been scared.
Jace, you're saying about the module?
I don't remember what I was going to say about it.
All right. Told you guys. Set them expectations low.
That's right. Well, before we jump into the main segment here, we have to mention our good friends at Epic Adventure Candle Company. Every single scent that you buy is guaranteed to be, I want to say delicious, but that's not the right word. But that's the only word I can come up with.
That's a good way to describe it. It's delicious. Delicious through your nose. Like, it's just...
I was informed before this podcast that we can't eat the candles.
Well, actually, no, you can eat the candles.
It's
because
soy-based.
They are soy-based, and they're hand-poured, and they're all good ingredients.
Yeah,
so you can, in fact, eat the candles.
I would suggest...
Okay, disclaimer, please do not eat the candles.
Yeah. At least wait until it's not hot, at the very least.
Yeah, scoop it out in ice cream form. Well, I just bought the Medieval Wassail candle, and it is the perfect candle scent for this time of year and even the holidays, because it's Wassail, and it just smells like holidays.
Wassail.
Yeah, Wassail. So, anyway, make sure that you go check out epicadventurecandles.com. Sign up for the mailing list, because you will get a 10% off coupon code just for putting an email address in. So go use that on the website. How easy. On the website, there is a link to her Etsy store, her being Tara, the owner of Epic Adventure Candles. So, anyway, go check them out. They're great.
We like them.
And
eat the candle.
Don't eat the candle, but you can eat the candle and not have to call like the poison control hotline.
There you go.
Depending on how many candles you eat.
I don't know. I don't know the effect of any kind of wax on the human body, but it's probably not great.
I'm sure there's a point where you need to stop.
There's probably a podcast out there for that.
There probably is.
Eating candles. Yeah we're also promoting the Eating Candles podcast.
Yeah, go check them out at Eating My Candles podcast.
I think they did a side note on eating paint chips as well. So.
I think that's what we did before we sat down to do this.
I just think we're all sleep deprived, but except for Jace, because he got a nap in today.
He did get a nap in today.
It's been a long week.
We are recording this late. This is late for us, especially when you're rocking the dad life.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't even want to hear it from you two.
I have a dad bod. Dad bods count, right?
I've been rocking the dad bod for too long.
Hey, it is dad bod season, so we're good to go.
It's true.
So fighters and barbarians, huh?
Yeah, let's segue here. Nice transition. Fighters and barbarians. Some of the most, I'm going to argue this, probably the most iconic classes because they're just so versatile.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Human fighters are the number one played race / class combo in all of D&D across every generation.
Yep. It is a hallmark. Well, also, you know, for like beginner players, that's an easy thing to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Fighter and human at that. Humans really are hard kind of broken.
Swing a sword. In 5e, the variant race is definitely one of the strongest.
I mean, you can take a feat right off.
Yeah.
That's great. That's what I do if I ever play a human. I always take a feat.
Yeah, you convinced me to do it in this campaign we're doing right now. I'm doing a human variant.
Like, yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. It makes you feel great, except for I think we're going to die, but that's another story.
That is... That's wild and wacky. Oh, hey, wait a second. Before we continue this discussion, I have something interesting to talk about.
Okay.
So I was watching a YouTube video this week, and it was a D&D Beyond video, and they interviewed... what is his name? I'm gonna have to find it. Anyway, they interviewed the guy
Colonel Mustard
for he does like Rick and Morty stuff, I'm pretty sure. Like he is Rick and Morty.
Ricky Gervais.
No, seriously. Come on, man. That's just disrespectful. I can't
His name is Justin Roiland, if we're not trolling for a minute.
Well, not him, this other guy then. Look, I'm so bad. His name's like Peter something. Let's see if I can pull it up on YouTube real quick. Anyway, I watched this video and he's talking about the Rick and Morty D&D comic that's coming up and how he's writing for it pretty well. And so he goes and he does a kind of like what Matt Mercer did and how they pull in these like consultants for different of the pre-made adventures, you know. They pulled him in, and during the process of them talking about whatever it was going to be in the comic, Chris Perkins was like, "Hey, every day we sit down and we play D&D." He was like, "Seriously, you guys actually play D&D?" And yeah, they play AD&D.
Wow.
Old school.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So, and the reason that they do that is because they don't want to forget their roots. And they don't want to forget, like, the spirit of the game. And so, anyway.
That's pretty dope.
I thought that was really interesting. I've got to find this, though, because I feel like a complete idiot for bringing it up and not.
Was it Patrick Rothfuss?
Is that his name? Are you looking at it right now?
Possibly. I think I found it. Patrick Rothfuss
talks
Rick and Morty.
It. Who is he? I mean, is he just writing for Rick and Morty, or is he one of the...
I'm not sure.
I'm going to get so much hate for this.
Well, I,
yeah, dude.
It's all right. We get
There's
so going to
be a Reddit page. r/ Tristan's dumb.
Yeah, for real. I feel really bad. No, he doesn't. Okay, he's best known for the King Killer Chronicle. I feel really bad. Anyway,
he does play a few episodes of Critical Role though.
Yeah, we're informed here and stuff.
Yeah
and stuff.
That's okay. It's late. That's gonna be my excuse. It's late. Yeah, Patrick Rothfuss. I think that's how you say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm gonna say it. Patrick Rothfuss.
Why not?
Wasn't he that guy that like hit his mom in a basement?
No.
In a hotel.
This is a train wreck.
Why, dude? Why would you even say that?
I can't avert my eyes though. It's like a train wreck.
That's slander. We're gonna get arrested.
Yeah.
For Patrick Bateman from Psycho.
I'm worried about you, man.
Yeah, I'm
worried about myself.
Norman Bates, bud.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Bates. Okay.
God, what is happened?
I don't know. So, about the barbarians.
Yeah, we're going back to that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, all right, guys. Turns out that was a role play the entire time.
Patrick,
I'm a low
Patrick
intelligence
Bateman,
barbarian.
That was close, though. That's from American Psycho.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you had Psycho in the name, but you were way wrong.
Yeah. Well, he was American.
Wow. You know what? I think this deserves an actual transition. So anyway, we will see you guys in a few minutes after we've kind of collected our thoughts a little bit more and are not so idiotic. But there's still going to be plenty of stupidity. So stay tuned. And after that fiasco, the fighter and the barbarian. We've already talked about them being iconic, so we're not doing that again.
yeah, that was, we're good. So let's start off. What's the similarities between these two weapon-wielding warriors?
I hit it with my stick.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like Tristan was saying earlier, it's, easy to pick up on. I say, you know, it's if you're first starting out with D&D fighter, especially like you said, playing a human with role play, that's a lot easier. And then barbarian's kind of similar though too. Just being able to run up and hit things with your massive weapon, it's pretty easy for first timers.
Yeah, they like to fight. Mm-hmm. They like fight. F-I-T-E.
It is in the name.
Well, I think that it's so easy because the reading is face value reading.
Yeah.
You know, that was my Siri. It just went off. You really have to read the rules to know mm-hmm. how to play the game. And you can essentially play a fighter or a barbarian. I mean, there are like some nuances in there that you pick up on as you level up and things. But for the most part, you know how to play base D&D. You know how to play these two characters.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
So I think that lends itself to the popularity of the human fighter for sure. But barbarians are not something that we see a lot of in our games with our group. I mean, we have one guy who plays a barbarian like 10 out of 10 times. But for the rest of us, I think the barbarian is the least visited.
Yeah, I would agree. It's I definitely want to play one eventually. Shout out to Travis Willingham with Grog. That's probably my favorite character from Critical Role, so just because of that, I want to play a barbarian at some point in time, but our group really hasn't touched on it much. Jace, did you ever play one back in your 3.5 days?
Every time I wanted to play a guy for big damage.
Yeah.
Damage.
It's, I don't know, it's like one of those things where it's hard to not love the barbarian character.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean...
So let's... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's awesome just to kind of sometimes throw everything to the wind, just go up and run up, be a meat shield, and then, like Jay said, just smack with big damage all day long.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they definitely are very similar classes in how they function. But, so I guess we should really start with the differences between them so we can talk about their little nuances that make them stand apart from other stuff. The biggest one is one likes to fight and the other likes to angry fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, rage is a great ability to use. But I don't know. At the end of it all, that is what is the main part of the barbarian's kit, and a fighter is going to be more versatile.
Yeah, for sure. I think I always look back to class themes and kind of class fantasy about everything. So you have the fighter, that a fighter is just kind of your blank template character, where it can be this or it can be that. Like, you can have a fighter that's an archer, or you can have a fighter that's a sword wielder guy, and you can have, you know, a fighter be good at various different things, or good at a lot of things, but not great at any. Whereas a barbarian is more into that niche of getting up in battle and, you know, fighting. You know, just like head on, in your face, let's fight. Well, so it's kind of... Go ahead.
Well, I said, well, heck, I mean, a fighter can even be a spellcaster. I mean, you can take Eldritch Knight and you can be a spellcaster. And that's what you were kind of talking about. It's, you know, one of those things everybody always says, a jack of all trades and a master of none. So, I mean, you're really good at melee fighting, and then you start throwing some spells in there too. So, I mean, you can kind of do it all with a fighter. I don't know if that's kind of what they were going for with that class, but it's kind of like all of, like, if you go that route, it can be like all of D&D all in one, just about.
Yeah. It's like the wizard sorcerer talk that we had, or dissension that we had last week, where, you know, a wizard's kind of locked into that I cast the spells, and where a sorcerer can do other things than just cast the spells.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but instead of spells, it's melee fight.
Right, and the fighter has always been that. Has always been that versatility, and I guess since the iteration of the game, at least that's the way I take it. Is
that's 5e kind of, it's definitely the most versatile it's ever been.
Right, but even back to AD&D, reading in my player's handbook that I have, the fighter class is the most up for interpretation of all the other classes, because you can literally do whatever it is that you want. You know, like, you want to be a mace wielder, you want to throw spears, you want to be an archer, you can do that. And you're not ever locked into not being an all around soldier.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I was kind of, I was about to touch on with class fantasy. Where, you know, you can have a fighter that has multiple backgrounds and everything, where, you know, they might be a soldier for the king, or they might be just some guy that's learned to pick up a sword. They might be, you know, like this, I don't know, I can't think of anything at the end of the day. And then for a barbarian, you generally have, like, two schools of thought, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that's like,
actually, the possibilities are indefinite.
But you can have, like a noble savage kind of character, or a hype beast go fight guy. Like, those are the two main archetypes that barbarians usually fall into.
Yeah,
but at the same time, the barbarian, to me at least, is a wiser character.
Yeah, that goes into the noble savage side of things, I do believe.
Well, it can, but it also, you know, doesn't have to. But I just feel like the lore in the barbarian is there's just more of a wisdom to what it is that you're doing, as opposed to the intelligence of knowing how to operate different weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I really, really like to equate the barbarian to, and this is going to sound so stupid because I'm still keeping it in a fantasy realm, but I like to equate the barbarian to the Taurens in World of Warcraft.
Uh-huh.
Just that whole, it's almost like Native American.
It's that, like the tribal savagery almost, and that's, you know.
Yeah, that's the whole vibe I get from reading all the flavor text and things, is there's a tribal commitment here, like, you know, Mongols,
mm-hmm.
or Huns, or those kind of warriors, Celts, you know, those are your barbarians, and then organized fighting and such, militaries, that's your fighters.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of getting to it, and we're where my thought process is, it's, you know, like, your barbarians, your savage, you know, savage fighter or whatever, he just goes up there and wildly swings and then brings down heavy damage. But with your fighter, it's more finesse, or it can be more finesse, but it's learned, it's taught, and it's perfected. Like, that's his craft. But then with the barbarian, it's a learned out of necessity. Like, you either learn it or you die. It's not like something that's taught to you because it's, like Tristan was saying, military or whatever, and you just wanted to be really good at it, or you were automatically just really good at it. But the barbarian, it's either be good or you die.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot of the how the knowledge applies and how the knowledge is learned, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, like a fighter could be trained to use multiple weapons. Like, he would know, okay, there's this this dinosaur beast that's like a Triceratops kind of, and he would be trained to know, okay, I should probably shoot this thing with my bow instead of going up and slashing it, because, you know, I've learned that long range fighting will be better against this thing, so I don't get up and close because I'm not gonna be able to beat it. Whereas a barbarian who's kind of grown up along these things would say, okay, its weak spot is just right behind its neck, underneath its, you know, heavily armored face, and so it would go and attack that. So it's how they approach problems, one based on experience, the other based on kind of their knowledge of things,
like what they've learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the quintessential breakdown of the philosophy behind the two. And if you go and look at the subclasses that are in the player's handbook and Xanathar's guide, I'll just say those two books right now, because I think there's probably more. There's probably something in Skag or, you know, one of those other ones. But the theme carries through with the barbarian, that it always sticks to a certain school of thought, I'm going to say. And with the fighter, you have just differing historically inspired subclasses. Like, you have the cavalier, which to me is more of your knight in shining armor. Now, somebody's going to make the argument that no, that's actually the paladin, but I would say that's not true. You know, the paladin is more on the quest for justice, or is
in, more of a crusader
kind, yeah, of, or is in the service of a particular god or whatever. But the cavalier to me is more the knight in shining armor. And then you have the samurai class, and you have the arcane archer class. So the
eldritch knight,
right? You have all kinds of flavor in the fighter, which I think makes it more palatable to players, especially beginning players, because it just seems like you have more options right mm-hmm. out of the gate. When you really, once you start playing, that's when you start getting creative, and you really are not limited by any class and its subclasses, because you could play it however, but
it's more of a blank slate.
Yes, just like you said earlier, it is your quintessential, here, let's play a fantasy game, be who you want.
Yeah, if you were playing an RPG, this is the thing you start out as, and you develop as you go along based off of this class.
Mm-hmm. And here's something that I really like about it, is I like that the fighter doesn't ever really fall off in 5th edition like it maybe has in previous editions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think that the barbarian scaled better in previous editions just because of, like, Berserk or Rage or whatever it may have been called. Because you have damage that's halved, you have your speed increase, you have double damage that you can deal and things. And I just feel like the barbarian always would outshine a fighter in combat. But with 5th edition, it's more rounded because the fighter has more utility available in his kit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've done an immaculate job fleshing out. I didn't play 4th edition. I tried it and I didn't get into it, but so this is the jump between 3.5 and 4. You know, a barbarian was your heavy damage dealing class in melee, and you took levels of fighter so you could get feats, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's they. You took the fighter just to be a jack of all trades, whereas you took a barbarian if you were going to get in and melee fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that was how I was initially presented with the barbarian, because I thought of it in terms of like Diablo. That's how I thought of the barbarian, and it wasn't until I don't even know when my mood changed or the idea changed for me with the barbarian that there was like a nobility to the barbarians that you could really tap into. I think it might have been when I was watching The Last Samurai, because, you know, that's how the samurai were seen during that period in Japan's history, is they were just savages. And it really made me think that these individuals are actually like smart people. You know, they're not dumb. I think it was 3.5 that makes you feel like they're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like unlearned, you know, like they wouldn't know, the reason why you're supposed to cover up wounds is because they get, you know, bacteria in them and they can get infected, blah, 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 blah. But they know, oh, I'm supposed to do that, and you can put this herb on top of it and it'll fix this so you don't die from it.
Right. My biggest hurdle always was not being able to read with the barbarian.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that just puts them into a category where they're thought as is oafs, and they, wherever the barbarian comes from, well, they might be able to read their own language. You know, they might have their own alphabet. That's a cool way to also play it.
See, I also like the flavor of them not having one. You know, one of the biggest reasons why we have written words is to communicate between each other, and to have a record of how to communicate so it could be translated so that other people from other languages can communicate with us. Whereas, you know, a barbarian that has a small tribe maybe wouldn't have a reason to write down everything, because they don't, you know, see the outside world as important, and if they want to talk to somebody, they go next door rather than writing them a letter.
Right.
Their world's not as big.
Yeah, and they tell their stories through drawings, or they just pass their stories along. It's not necessary to them.
So it can be cool flavor if you make it like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for the record, there's nothing wrong with playing the dumb barbarian. That's a lot of fun.
Right, but to me, that's like playing the, I'm gonna call it, lawful stupid paladin.
Yeah.
You know.
True.
In my mind, I want to break molds for these classes when I play them. And I never really liked that the barbarian was presented at the forefront as being stupid. That's what it felt like. Whether or not that was the intention, that's what it felt like when I read in 3.5.
Maybe you should play a barbarian savant next time. Like maybe have 18 in intelligence or something.
Yeah, and then immediately multi-class into wizard.
that word doesn't mean what I think you think it means.
Maybe not. I don't know, I'm tired.
Getting into fighter, the differences on there is so a lot of people pigeonhole them into just kind of your melee fighter as well. And I think 3.5 has done a very good job of making a distinction between that, that they can be more than just your sword-wielding soldier.
5,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
My bad.
You're good.
5, where they have, you know, your Arcane Archer and your Eldritch Knight subclasses. You know, now you have a class that's like a Spellblade or a class that is archery that's not a ranger, you know, in there. Like I think that's cool how they've kind of branched off and moved away from that in such a way.
I do too. I like that your Rangers are not your archer class anymore. That the fighter, they've given enough up front to let you know that, okay, most archers are probably going to be fighters anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely could be.
You know, like Legolas is probably more a fighter than a ranger to me.
Yeah, that could definitely, yeah, you could definitely interpret it as that.
Just yeah, because his...
I'd agree with that.
I mean, there's just a distinction between him and Aragorn, where Aragorn's obviously your ranger. Like, that class was obviously modeled after Aragorn in the beginning. And Legolas, even though he was an elf, and so we think of them as being like, you know, these tree huggers and things, the essence of Legolas is more of a fighter to me.
Yeah. Yeah, Gimli's a fighter too. For all you guys sitting there thinking, oh, maybe he's a barbarian. No, he's a fighter.
Yeah, he's a fighter for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But like, you could have Merry and Pippin be barbarians.
Yeah. Yes, you could. And that comes along with knowing, you know, whatever you've got to do to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, not that the Hobbit culture is a warring culture, but you know, in times of necessity,
and it kind of
survival of the fittest. Yeah.
Yeah.
True. The fighter also is, I think, one of the classes that doesn't get role played like some of the other classes. And I think that's a real shame. Cause you can really dig in with a wizard or a sorcerer, because they've got the wizard's going to be the academic. He's going to be studying things. I mean, just stereotyping here. The sorcerer is kind of like I think of as being more haughty because of like what we talked about in the last episode. The barbarian you can get into, a rogue you can get into, a bard is like, duh, you're gonna get into that. But a fighter can sometimes be left out because you're not fitting a particular spot in the party other than whatever it is that you want. So I think that when you're role playing a fighter, that you really need to develop your character.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, you just hit it on the head right there. It's so open ended that if you don't develop it and fine-tune it from the very beginning, you're going to be lost in and of itself, because it's vast. A fighter can do, we were just talking about it, a fighter can do anything. A fighter mm-hmm. can be anything from any background, pretty much. So if you don't fine-tune it, then it's going to be, you're going to lose it.
Yeah. If you're just the bland guy mm-hmm. that's filling a spot, like you're there to fill a niche, you don't have to have a bland personality to go with that. I mean, your name doesn't have to be Bob Tom, and your likes are that you like to shoot arrows because your guys needed a ranger, and you didn't need to track stuff. It's like, yeah. I'm Bob Tom, and I like arrows.
It's just... okay, so to me, I would be...
Robert Thomas, for the record.
Bob Tom.
Rob Thomas. Yes.
To me, if I were playing a fighter, which I always develop my characters, but that would be one time when I would definitely not want to be finding personality traits along the way. I would want to have already thought about those and have them well established in my head. And
yeah,
obviously, as the story goes on, you know, you're going to change your views and things are going to shift. Your character is going to shift. But I would really want my fighter to be established in his own universe just to make sure that I was actively engaging with the party. Yeah.
I have a buddy that only plays fighters. That's literally it. And it's usually a human fighter. And he only plays those because he doesn't want to mess with all the class specifics and little nuances and everything else like that. He's just there to role play. So, like, his character is his character, and it just happens to be a human fighter. Like, that's the only reason why it is one, is because it is just that blank slate. And if he could have a class where it wasn't anything, like, there's just nothing to it, he would pick that one. But since there's not, he picks the human fighter that can be anything.
And that's a really cool approach to take, especially if you are maybe burnt out or, you know, got a bad taste in your mouth about something that has happened in a previous game and you're like, oh, I'm never playing D&D again. Look at playing a fighter like that, where you literally open up the realm of possibility, that you're not locking the fighter in, well, he's only going to be an archer. Like, maybe, obviously, he's good at using a bow, you know, but that doesn't mean that at some point he's going to pick up a sword and he's going to do that for a little bit, or he's going to use both of them, or he's going to experiment. You know, that is so important to keep in mind, is that as long as you can make it where you're having fun, that's why you're playing the game in the first place. And playing with something that is completely open to whatever it is that your mind's going to go to, I think is just a really awesome aspect of the fighter that's never even mentioned in the books at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause you can't write something like that.
I think fighter would be a really good one to, like, after you've been playing a while, to jump into to stretch yourself in that role-playing ability. Because, like we did say at the very beginning, that when you're first starting out, fighter and barbarian, those are good classes to start with to, you know, like you said, you understand the rules, you're good to go. But for that role-playing aspect, and I think that's what a lot of people, you know, we talked about it in other previous episodes, they get kind of shy about, especially new people. But when you're ready for it, I feel like that would be a good class for you to jump in and stretch yourself with your role-playing ability and your character development.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's just, it's so, like, the role-playing is, I mean, it's, even though it's at the forefront of the game, I feel like a lot of us don't go through life and think, how can we improve our role-playing at the table?
Exactly. It's how can
speak for yourself.
You're a weird guy.
Yeah.
You probably rub your belly button too.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh my gosh. Can't handle
Got
it.
Got him.
I can never handle these. I'm never prepared to sit down and do one of these.
Nope.
Nope. Never, ever, ever.
But that's the way we like it.
That's right. Spontaneous. So, guys, I think that pretty well wraps it up without starting to repeat ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we got it. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, got him.
Yeah, for sure. Well, anyway, thank you for tuning in to Dragon's Trove. Remember, I almost said we go live. We don't go live, but we do post every Saturday at 12 Central Standard Time. Just for an update for the listeners, since you can't really look at this, I guess, and for us, this is an encouragement. This last week, we switched podcast platforms, and we are actually hosted on Anchor now as opposed to SoundCloud. And within 7 days, we've actually picked up 99 listens. So that's like a huge milestone. And I think
we appreciate everybody listening to me talk.
Yeah, for real. You guys are what is going to push us to continue to make these. I mean, they are stupid conversations at times. They really are.
We proved that at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember when a third of this was us just getting names wrong?
Yeah. And me calling people things they weren't. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Anyway, thank you guys so much for your support. It's a big deal. Overall, since we've started this, we've gotten about 300 listens. So,
ooh,
yeah, that's huge.
What is your profession?
I'm a professional podcaster.
Oh, I was supposed to go. Oh, yeah, dude, Troy got it.
I had to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well,
thanks.
As little brother, I feel like that's my job.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got that down to a science.
Jace, just go over there and Spartan kick him later tonight.
Yeah, you wish. Yeah.
Sleepy.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Remember, Epic Adventure Candle Company. It's great. Check
don't
out,
eat them.
Check out the website. EpicAdventureCandles.com.
So everybody have a great night. Bye.
Did you jump the gun, y'all? Good night, everybody.